Hello, everybody. This is Jose Betancourt, and you are listening to a new episode of Living with TBI. So, my most recent update regarding workers' compensation, disability, and my overall health has been all over the place because I've been taking a new medication for anti-anxiety. That is one of the biggest issues that I have to deal with, is being around people, especially crowds and loud noises. Very sharp, high-pitched noises, they set me off. I start to, my heart starts racing, I get very aggressive. It's that fight or flight situation that I always talk about. So they're trying to find ways how to deal with that, obviously. I'm seeing a psychiatrist, and they're trying to find the right mixture of medications. Now, I really don't like taking medication of any kind. So this is new to me. And for a little bit, certain things were working. But then I got into a situation where somebody nearly hit us. We were driving in the parking lot of a supermarket, and somebody with a big SUV decided she's not going to use her signals for anything. And just when it looked like she was pulling over to the side to let people drive around her, she decides to veer to the right as I'm going around her. No signaling, no nothing. There was no indication of what she was going to do. And that set me off. I started yelling at the top of my voice at her. So before the accident, I would have maybe given her the finger or give her the wave out the window as to what are you doing. I wouldn't have yelled because that's kind of expected in New York City. But there's been a few situations where driving, somebody would do something unexpected. Now, when I drive or when I... Before my accident, when I used to drive, I always expected somebody to do something really dumb. So a situation like that wouldn't have been, I wouldn't have taken it as aggressively as I did. Or it wouldn't have caught me off guard because I used to work in Manhattan and there were times where I would drive to work. And so I had to deal with all types of crazy drivers in New York City, specifically the yellow cabs. They will literally cross three lanes. Let's say I'm in the left lane, far left, because there are some streets in Manhattan that do have three lanes. They will go from the right and cross all the way to the left with no signal, no nothing, just to pick up a passenger. And they will do this aggressively. It's the craziest thing. So I'm accustomed to that. I am accustomed to that hostile driving experience. Now when somebody does something that's not as aggressive, it sets me off. So this new concoction of medications, this new cocktail, it's not doing as good of a job as I thought, which might be the problem. It's something that my psychiatrist and my counselor, they've both been telling me that I've put a certain achievement on myself that I may never reach. And that achievement is to be where I was before my accident. And they told me, quite frankly, my life has changed. I have two spots in my brain that have atrophy. And that is, you know, that combination is not going to, and I'm trying to find the right words, but the fact that I have atrophy in two spots of my brain from the impact, that is going to change me, regardless if I want to accept it or not. So that's the thing I'm still struggling with 3 years later. I expect to be back fixing elevators, reading complex circuitry, troubleshooting complex circuitry, fixing heavy machinery. And not only that, but the excitement that came when there was passengers stuck in an elevator and we had to rush out and get to that building as quickly as possible, run up the stairs, assure the passengers in the elevator that we were going to get them out safely. All of that was exhilarating. And I miss it. To this day, I still dream about work. And one counselor says that is a form of grieving, which I can totally see because I am no longer that individual. I'm not the individual that can sit down, record a podcast and YouTube videos without effort. Now it takes me a few months to sit down and do a podcast because I can't gather the thoughts and put them out. Like, I can gather them in a timely fashion, but then putting them out into a microphone, that's a whole nother hurdle. So that is why I save my podcast for when I have a bunch of things happening that I know that I can grab information, the parts that I remember, and create a timely podcast that has some information that others with TBI can relate to. So yeah, I'm really still struggling to accept the fact that I will never be that individual that I was before a 15-pound object landed on my head from about 3 feet away, 3 feet above my head. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's just, maybe it's a good thing that I don't want to let that go because it's given me something to strive for. But then again, as they keep telling me, I keep putting these expectations on me and I'm not appreciating the progress that I do achieve. And that is something that I need to begin to do. And so for those of you who are listening, who feel the same way I do, understand that it is a good way to stay motivated, but it also doesn't allow you to appreciate the advancements that you have made. And that's the problem I'm having. Some of it is depression. I did, and I'm still depressed. And so I take bupropion, I believe, is supposed to be an upper. And that's supposed to help me with my moods. But I haven't felt anything in regards to that. I think I'm always going to have this issue where I'm fighting against myself. I've stated this before. There's a part of me in my head that is trying to find its way out. And then there's the new me. And both of them are fighting against each other. And I believe I had a dream. I might have talked about this maybe last year. I believe it was last year where I had a dream about me. It was weird. I have to look back. I do remember having a dream and talking about it and how in the dream I was talking to myself. The old me was talking to the new me. But yeah, it's hard. It's hard when you have something you're holding on to and you don't want to let it go because you feel like it's just the progress and where you were before that you will get there in no time. I'm stuck and I need to I really need to get over it. So what I've been doing, my wife also has been participating, is that we are going out on walks at least 3 times a week. We try to go as many times as we can. We do about an hour worth of walking. We both have Apple Watches, so it monitors our heartbeat, our pace, has a GPS system, so we can look at an entire outline of where we were. It just gives us something visual to look at as we're doing this together. And it gives you motivation because they have the rings, which represent progress. And if you choose the amount of calories you want to burn that particular day and you happen to burn it according to your watch, that ring will close. You get rewards. Well, you get little trophies or something on your watch. So Apple is doing all they can to motivate people to walk, to do something. Your watch will even tell you, hey, you've been sitting down for a while, get up for 1 minute. And the Apple Watch will let you know that you've closed out your standing time. So it will count at least a minute, or it recommends that you stand for 1 minute or walk around the house for 1 minute. So we've been using the technology that we have to our advantage to motivate us, even though we shouldn't need motivation because we're both dealing with high sugar levels. Not really, really high. My wife is nowhere as high as me, but my sugar level did go down, so there is progress. So we don't, you know, I'm 50 years old. My son is 21. I want to see my grandkids when that day happens. I want to see my son get married, have children, see his career progress, and then hopefully see my great grandkids. So my wife and I have goals for the future. So health has been our number one priority. That's another reason why I haven't been really podcasting. I've been using my spare time, which I have a lot of nowadays, but I've been going through a lot of appointments, hearings for my disability and my workers' comp. My wife, who has beaten breast cancer, she's always going to appointments and stuff. So we've been busy, and then going to pick up our son, et cetera, et cetera. So health has been very integral or very important. And then our diet. That's the other thing we've been focusing on. Eating right, watching what we eat, eliminating as much sugar from our diet as we can. And we don't consider it a diet. It's a lifestyle change. So we've been eating a lot healthier. We are very strategic with what we eat. We're starting slow, but we are making it a top priority to eat right and to stay healthy by going out and walking as much as we can. Sugar is a dangerous thing to eat. I was trying to find a more clever word to say it, but sugar is especially the high fructose sugar or syrup, high fructose syrup. Those are two dangerous things that are probably in everything we eat. There is no reason why you should look at a bread, the ingredients for bread. There's no reason for you to see more than 4 different ingredients. You look at a pack of bread, let's say Hostess, no, that's Twinkies, Wonder Bread. Look at the back of the label for Wonder Bread, and you will see all these ingredients. A lot of them you can't even pronounce. There's no reason for that. It's bread. It's this one of the most simple things humans have been making and living off of for thousands of years. Now, I'm not statistically accurate when I say thousands of years with bread, but for many years, okay? Centuries. But you drink soda, you're drinking high fructose corn syrup, you're drinking a lot of sugar. Even fruit juices, you think apple juice or orange juice is healthy for you, but then you look at the back of the box and you see all the sugar. So I'm saying that because a lot of sugar not only affects you physically, but it affects you mentally. It will get you addicted. You will be, your entire chemical balance will change if you suddenly try to stop eating sugar. So we're doing it gradually, and we're getting accustomed to not eating all types of desserts, and we're not snacking on junk food. We're snacking on apples or, you know, pistachios, things like that. So health has been top priority, and we are using that spare time to exercise and then eat right. And then the third thing we've been doing is we're reading more. Now, I still have issues reading. For example, I can't read an entire paragraph without placing my finger or a sheet of paper along the sentence because I lose my place. And because my eyes aren't coordinating correctly, the words move. So if I look a certain angle, the entire page is waving. So I have to be very careful with what I read, and I try not to read on my iPad. So we've gone to the library. I got a library card. I renewed it. And we took out some books. So we spend at least an hour a day trying to read. I got a very small book. It's not that big. There's not a lot of pages. I could have been done with it already, but it's, you know, as my counselor told me, she said, it's as if I injured my knee and now I'm building my knee back up. I have to start slow. I have to start with stretches, with small weights, little movements. So she said, think of my progress in the same way. I need to exercise my brain, but start slow. Not try to jump right away and read an entire book in one day. That's not going to happen. So I've been reading this book. It's about a billionaire who's giving advice to entrepreneurs. And I picked it up. I said, let me just read this. Because before my injury, I would look into many different things. I would get into different hobbies, or I would simply read something just to know how things work. And if the conversation ever came up, or if I had to give advice to my son, at least I had something, a little bit of some information, a little ammunition to give in a conversation. So this gentleman, he's talking about building a company from the beginning with a little money and how he went through it and stuff like that. So it's almost like a little autobiography type thing, but there's not a lot of pages, so I'm starting small. And then little by little, my wife and I, we plan to keep reading more and more and to, at least for me, be capable of reading something that is going to teach me something, a new skill, something. And that's the thing that really gets to me, is that I can't absorb things where the way I used to 3 years ago. It's the reason why I became a photographer. It's the reason why I used to repair computers. It's the reason why I used to, as a matter of fact, I got into podcasting. I got into video creation. So these things, I had to look them. I had to look up information. I had to read about it. I had to learn about it. Now I feel like I'm at a standstill, or that any type of learning experience has stopped 3 years ago. And I can't accept that. I was always somebody who got into something different just to learn it, just to know it, not actually participate in it, but just to have an idea of how things work. That's who I am. So I want to start doing that again. And I'm going to do it with physical books, not with digital copies. There's nothing like holding an actual book, turning pages. And that goes along with the music. You know, I did an episode where I talked about how music really helps me. It transforms me back to certain moments of my life, and it makes me feel good. So holding a physical book is the same way. Going to the library, it brings me back to my high school days, going to the library. And I had a girlfriend, and the only place my girlfriend and I were able to see each other after school was at the library. That was the only place her parents would let us hang out. And we went to the library, and we studied the entire time. There was no instance when we snuck out. We went to the library. And I have so many fond memories of being in the library, looking through books that I was, you know, looking for. They had the old system where they had to look through, you know, cards to find where the book is at. The Dewey system, I believe it's called. So being in the library and holding a physical book, it brings back a lot of good memories. You know, a lot of people have issues reading because they just get bored of the material. Some people have issues reading because they're in a noisy environment. So reading, as we all know, helps your brain stay sharp. That's something I'm going to do. So yeah, those are the three things right now that I'm doing. Being active, doing exercises. I changed my diet. Well, I don't want to say diet. I changed my eating habits, and I have implemented that into my lifestyle. And then I'm reading, not only because I want to sharpen my brain, but it also helps me to practice where I can follow an entire sentence without losing my place. And then hopefully I can go from one sentence to two sentences, and maybe in no time I can read an entire paragraph without losing my place, without needing a sheet of paper to go down every sentence. That's my goal. And I learned that if you set goals for yourself, if you set something that you need to get done, it's going to help you to focus. It's going to help you not pay attention to the limitations you have to live with now. So, I also spoke about feeding a cat, the neighborhood cat. The cat has actually been staying in our house. It was sick or something. Like the cat, the attitude, the personality of the cat totally changed. It's been walking slow, sleeping for like 10 hours straight. And quick story, Monday I saw the cat. It followed me home. I brought it upstairs. Hey, the cat will walk up on its own. As soon as the cat walked in, it's a male cat, he jumped on this little cushiony foot rest we have, immediately jumped on that and laid down and fell asleep. So we figured maybe it was up all night and it knows that it can sleep here calmly. But then the cat didn't want to get up to eat. Usually when it has come in the house previously, he'll spend 30 minutes to an hour in the house and then would walk to the door and would look at the door handle until somebody saw him and then open the door and let him out. The cat absolutely did not move from the bed. I had to give it these little snacks while he was sitting in the bed on the little cushiony footrest, and that's how he was eating. Luckily, he got up a few times, drank some water. We even went out and bought a kitty litter. We bought the litter and the box to put the litter in just for this cat because he was sick. So we bought that, and he used it multiple times, which is good news because that means he's going to the bathroom, he's drinking water, he's eating not as much as he usually eats, but he's eating. So we're hoping that the cat, he looks better today. We're hoping he recovers and he's back to his old crazy self. But once again, as I stated, with the cat going down, feeding him, making sure he has food going every day, it allows me to get steps in. It allows me to remember something every day that I need to do. It's a task that I need to complete. And doing that exercises my brain. It helps me to remember things. And you have to start small. No matter how minuscule you might think the task is, for people like us, a small task is a major win. So, yeah, I hope this helps you guys out. I hope everyone is having a great weekend. And I'll talk to you guys later. You guys take care. Bye.